Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Coach Raheem Morris for stopping by. Good stuff from him. Look, confident, yes. Disappointed in the performance on Sunday? Absolutely. And somebody said, Dukes, you know we had a bad special teams day. I know that. I wanted him to tell you that.
Right.
I wanted him to tell you what he's told his team. I know. We have talked to you guys, but this is why we come. We want to hear from the head coach. And so when he says, hey, terrible day special teams-wise, we give a big return, we miss kicks, yeah, we got to be better. Mike, he talked about also the plays that were missed. And that's what these games come down to, guys. That's why it's so maddening. Sacks, interceptions, you had plays in your hand, and they just slip away. And then when the clock runs out, Mike, and we go, how did we lose this game? It's
right.
Those moments we've been talking about. Cannot have those moments Sunday night and expect to win on the road against Minnesota.
Yep. And you heard the coach. A lot of guys want to know what's going on with the Koo situation. We're just talking with Dave Archer and talking about Parker Romo from McIntosh High School down in PTC. Apparently a big leg, Carl. So, again, playing in spring football and having some cups of coffee and getting invited to other camps and playing for the Vikings for a couple of games. So we know the guy's got NFL experience. We'll see where it goes. Coach Rob was, I thought, was pretty forthcoming about Koo, and it's in his head now. Sounds like it's in his head, combination of the mechanics, but that's what I took from it. Not to put words in Coach's mouth, but that's where it seems like it's going.
Well, look,
it's almost like you need like Smoltz's old sports psychologist from back in the day.
I think it's a hard place for Coach to be in. I think he knows. But if he comes on, Mike, and says, well, yeah, it's mental, we're screwed.
Right.
Because then you certainly – I don't trust him right now, but you certainly right. are going to trust him because you just heard the coach say that. Mechanics are fixable. I said this with the conversation I had over the weekend with the great Matt Bryant, and he was like, oh, yeah, you can fix that. That just – you gotta get out there and work on those things. But if it's mental, it may be a while. And that was like his words. I said, okay, great. Is it concerning? Yes, but maybe not as concerning. But, Mike, I want him to go 3-for-3. Look, this is going to sound crazy. First drive, if it bogs down and it's a 50-yarder, kick it. I want to see. There's no reason why we should be waiting till the end of the game to figure out whether Koo's got it or he doesn't. So every chance I get Sunday night, let's kick this thing and see. If he goes 3-for-3 or whatever and we lose the game, we're going to feel a lot better.
Right.
Of course, we'll feel better about a win. But if we somehow are winning and or losing late and, Mike, you run him out there, how petrified are you going to be at the end of the game if you haven't kicked it before that point?
And as you know, you and I were talking about this off the air. There's just nothing worse than when you're in this situation. We hope we're not going down this road. Because, you know, after Matt Bryant left the Bucs, they went through a period of having just tons of terrible kickers.
That's right.
You know, it was kind of like one of the knocks on the Bucs was, you know, before Brady got there, they just, you know, obviously didn't worry about that. But it just, they would lose games because of a bad kicking situation. I just hope we have this stabilized, and if they do find a way to go with Romo, that maybe this guy is going to be something, a breath of fresh air, and is solid. But, you know, it's like I said, Koo has been good. He's in a weird place right now, and all kickers, save for a few, Carl, seem to go through this. I don't remember Morton Anderson ever having anything like this, or a Justin Tucker, or any of the greats, you know, until the end of the career, when obviously the wheels came off for Justin Tucker last year, because obviously he had some distractions in his life.
Massages. Yeah, I agree.
That's specifically, yes.
That's what happened with him. 404-726-0929. We're live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Divine Diablo's going to join us. This news just coming in as, again, teams getting back to work around the NFL, including ours, who practice today. Drake London, the other news guys, practice today. Okay? Good news. He was on the field. That means he's potentially trending to play on Sunday, but Ra would not say that specifically at this point. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy did not practice today due to his left shoulder and toe injuries. He's got two injuries he's dealing with. And then Shanahan came out and said, this could be a multi-week injury. So Purdy could miss month. He could maybe miss a month. We don't know. 3-4 weeks. And all of a sudden, everybody's going, all right, what's this mean for the 49ers?
So it's shoulder. It's nothing to do with this, that ULR bracing thing, right?
He's got a shoulder and a toe injury.
Okay. is Big Toe, and he is the big toe of that team. So we'll see where they go. You know, this
Matt Jones is the backup.
You and I have always talked about not believing in him and giving him that contract the way the Giants should have given it to Daniel Jones, or the Cowboys, in my mind, should have given it to Dak. But we'll see where that goes. We will see San Francisco. That's in October. I think it's weekend the 19th out there at Levi's.
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, the other news that we're interested in is what Kevin O'Connell said, and that is the Vikings head coach, in regards to his injured players. His two linebackers, Blake Cashman, has a hamstring. He's already out a few weeks. And then he admitted today that Andrew Van Ginkle is also in the concussion protocol. Two big pieces on the defense that may probably won't be there on Sunday night.
Right, and you guys by now know that you're not going to have Jordan Addison out there because he's suspended. And, you know, this is where a game where all of a sudden you're like, okay, things are going to level out a little bit.
Yeah.
And now just a matter of, can we establish the run? Again, we talked about it with Coach. He nodded. We talked about Brian Flores with aggressive packages. They're going to try to confuse Michael Penix Jr. Hopefully Michael Penix, from his experience, I know college is different. We know that. But he's, as he says, he's played in big moments. He's handled what the Commanders threw at him in just his second start.
He
right?
did. Yeah, he did.
As a pro, for the most part. You know, one pick, we still think that was a missed route. So hopefully he handles his business, man. We were just talking. Dave Archer poked his head in our Ticketmaster studios. We were just talking about some of those turning points. Coach talked about it, and we mentioned it. You know, Caden Ellis normally makes that play, gets Baker on the ground, the drop picks. You know, in the game in Tampa, it was A.J. Terrell with the interception and Jesse Bates with that fumble. In this game, we don't get those turnovers. And Arch was just breaking it down schematically what happened, where Jesse Bates has a tendency to kind of move inside the red zone on that receiver to block off going in. They had it, they schemed it, and they got it open for a touchdown. That's good coaching.
He did exactly what they thought he would do.
Right, but that's, you know, that's the kind of, and that's hopefully the kind of stuff that Zach will try to do against what Brian Flores gets, a little aggressive with his packages.
Yeah, when Arch came on, and he joins us on a weekly basis, by the way, Wes is going to join us coming up here in less than 7 minutes from now, so make sure you stay tuned. The voice of our Atlanta Falcons, his thoughts on the game, Michael Penix, and much more. But he was describing this earlier in the week, Arch was, about Jesse and those tendencies. And again, just like Jesse scouts these guys, they scout him. You know, he picked off Derek Carr a couple of seasons ago, took it to the house for a pick six. We asked him after the game, how did you know? He was like, oh, I knew he threw that route. He was going to throw it. He jumped it. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't, and it didn't on Sunday for us in that particular situation. Hey, I want to remind you, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30. Just $30 for your first year. That's $2.50 a month, guys. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are awaiting Divine Diablo. We're going to talk to him. Also, we'll get to Wes Durham, and Mike's got some guy talk on the way. We'll get you caught up on the latest all across the board when it comes to the Falcons. A lot of stuff coming down today, and we'll let you hear from our offensive coordinator as well.
Yeah, man, and we were talking about it with Coach, and we had fun because we always joke around with stats of zeros for losers. But, yeah, man, there are numbers you can look at and say, hey, you know, we got guys where they're getting close this game. We did affect the quarterback, as Arch brought up yesterday on our program. But, you know, as Coach said, you got to get home. Period. Because then we get fired. Either way, you're getting back to that old Mike Smith argument. Sacks don't matter. Yes, you can move the quarterback off the spot, but when the game was on the line, we needed that dude on the ground.
Well, what's funny is then let's not talk about pressure rate at all, right?
But that's the way I feel.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, either you get the quarterback on the ground or you don't. Yes, I understand two things can be true. You can force the quarterback into mistakes.
Yeah.
And Baker made mistakes, and unfortunately we didn't capitalize on by not getting those interceptions that we came up close on.
The only reason, and it gets back to this, and because Coach was like, we had the third or fourth highest pressure rate, and he pointed that out in our interview with him, which he's right. I mean, you go around the league and you start looking at this and you go, okay, what's that mean? It's not like we had five sacks on Sunday. But I also think it's an evaluation of the rookies. When you're talking about James Pierce or Jalen Walker, how do you compare these guys when, in fact, they are not getting sacks? What are they doing? How close are they? What does it mean for the defense or the offense in that down and distance situation? So I get the statistics as far as the metrics are concerned, but I'm always a results guy. I mean, I don't care what you tell me. Like, at the end of the day, guys say, I'm a great golfer. Okay, then I go out with you and you shoot a 98. You know, I'm like, you're not that good. So
right.
at the end of the day, it's results. And I'm with Raw on that. But then let's not talk about this pressure thing that everybody's caught up in.
Right. You know what's so funny? It's like I mentioned the what had all the baseball nerds going crazy talking about like exit velocity. Exit velocity is a very important part of the sport these days. Yeah, I get it. You know, when the ball goes 20 rows deep in the seats, great. Exit velocity 107. Fantastic. But, I mean, to me, I hate the over-reliance on the metrics and the analytics. I understand
it's too much.
There's a place for it. And to me, the PFF stuff, it just you're shoehorning something. In football, it's just as simple as the eye test, and the tape doesn't lie. The one phrase, and it's true, and it's cliched, fast twitch when you're evaluating talent. Does your guy have it? If he doesn't, he's probably not going to be a star at the next level. But everything else to me is just window dressing. You know, either you catch the ball or you don't. You know, when they show those Amazon ads with the graphics, and he ran 22.5 miles. Did he get to the end zone? I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Kerry ran as fast as a cheetah. Kerry's beep, beep, road runner.
Sports science.
I mean, this to me is all lost stuff. I mean, just give me the results. Because baseball, there's the journey, and people love the stats. Football, the only thing that matters is the freaking Lombardi trophy in your hands.
Yeah. Well, look, baseball's always just been a numbers game. Football has just recently in the 20, right. 25 years become that.
And I just don't like where it's going.
It hasn't been that.
And you know, we've talked about it with Dade brought up earlier. Nothing against the NBA. Look, the guys are going to – you're going to shoot your shot, literally and figuratively. But it just makes for the aesthetic, Carl. It's tough sometimes to watch when guys are just clanging 53-point attempts.
Clang!
You know?
Clang, clang.
One end to the next. And that's not what you and I watched.
Yeah.
Damn it. I want to see a baseline jumper. See an intermediate J. Nobody does that unless you're from Europe.
Coming up, we are going to get a chance again. Divine Diablo is going to stop in. Guy Talks on the way. Wes Durham, are we doing him right now? We're going to do him right
Wes
now?
Wes Drewham.
We'll talk to him next. Stay right there.
So instead of... It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Divine Diablo, let's audible to Wes Drewham,
the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, let's start with our quarterback, Michael Penix. Everybody's talking about how poised he looked, how good he looked, how well he played, despite the fact that we come up short.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really nice start for Michael. I think he did a lot of really good things. I thought he, you know, obviously before he pulled the Superman act at the goal line for the touchdown, right. but I thought he was decisive. I thought he did some really good things in terms of getting them in and getting them out of plays. And I didn't think they got caught, I think, one time by the play clock, maybe. That was it. And usually for me, guys, when you're kind of out there for the first time, your unforced errors are usually the first thing you noticed. And quite frankly, I didn't notice many of those. They had obviously the two false starts on Elijah in the second half. But outside of that, I thought it was a pretty clean game for week one. I know they want to run the ball better. I want them to run the ball better. We all want them to run the ball better. So it's really interesting the way this thing opens. And now, obviously, as you guys I'm sure have discussed, it puts premiums on these next three games before you get to that early bye week.
And, Wes, I know we believe in what we have with Michael Penix Jr. And, of course, Sunday night, the nation will get to see it. They got to see some of it last year against the Commanders. The two-minute drill, I mean, all the things, only missing, I think, a couple of throws off the top of my head. And also getting Pitts involved. Maybe try to get Pitts involved more in Minnesota, but I don't think there's anything more you could ask of Michael Penix under the circumstances of not really having a run support on Sunday.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I totally agree, Mike. I think it was – look, they're going to try and run the ball. They just got to find a way. And we knew that going into the season – I love the way they got the ball to Bijan in the pass game, though. I really did. I thought that they put some really good stuff in play. Obviously, the first play on the third snap blew the roof off the place. But other than that, I think they found a way to put the ball in the best player's hands, right? And, look, I think you're right about Kyle. Seven catches is good. You want to see maybe a few more yards out of that and maybe one in the end zone. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball, they did a really nice job on a crowd that was pretty explosive last year. So I think, yeah, and I say this about the college game, and I'm trying to convince college people. You'll like this, Carl. I'm trying to convince college people that when you lose your first game, all's not lost anymore with the 12-team playoff,
it's
right?
True. Yeah.
And I know as disappointing as Sunday was, all is still not lost. You can still win the division, achieve like that, which I think is obviously what this crowd's after for sure.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when Ra was in here, I said these are chapters, and that's the first one, right? I'm reading. I'm getting to the second chapter. We're going to see Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And yep. Hopefully that reads a lot better and keeps me engaged and, you know, it becomes a better story. But I'm with you 200%. It's Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, what do you make of the kicking situation? You've seen a lot of kickers in your time. These things happen. But for the Falcons to bring in some competition, Mike and I think it's a good thing. We just don't know where this is going to go.
Well, it's going to go to who determines who's going to be the kicker is where it's going. I mean, you can't. Last year we thought it might be a blip. And look, if you go back, and I think Mike said this on the air with Andy and Randy earlier in the week, when you go back to what this has now become, you got to do something. You can't be in a situation where this is not a reliable piece of the program. And, you know, Young Way Coos made a lot of great kicks. Matt Bryant made a lot of great kicks. Morton Anderson made a lot of great kicks. Nick Mickemeyer made a lot of great kicks.
Yeah.
Uwe von Schaumann. Yeah, Uwe von Schaumann, Garo Yeprimian. They've all made really nice kicks and career kicks. But at some point, you know, there becomes a thing. And maybe this is the thing with Young Way Koo. And it's incumbent upon Terry and Raheem and Marquise Williams to get this right, because you don't want to be in this situation again. You don't want to be in a spot where you don't feel confident with that. And so Parker Romo is a guy who went down to the wire with the Patriots and has kicked for a lot of people. And I'm not against this. I understand the business of the National Football League, and that's what this is. You know, do your job, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, Young Waku's been a terrific player here, but this is something they've got to fix it. And to have it happen in week one after an offseason of – you know, I'm not going to say discontent, but certainly questions, right?
Right.
I think this is exactly the move I thought they would make this week.
Yeah, and we saw what the 49ers did moving on from Moody, their kicker. We saw a Jets player get cut for fumbling.
You talk about a guy who made some big kicks now. Jake Moody kicked Michigan to the damn national championship.
Right. That's true. Right. But you must always be closing, or in this case, always be kicking and making it.
Nice job, Alec Baldwin. Well done.
Results-driven business as we segue to college ball with Wes Durham, of course, covering ACC. You see him doing all that stuff, too, and he knows his game. How about the Florida Gators, brother, and USF? And can USF pull another miracle against Miami, please? But what do you think, though?
I'm going to give you this. If USF beats Miami, Alex Groves won't be coaching USF next year.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way this game works. Right. Look, they are, and you guys will like this tie because, you know, about a year ago we lost one of the rising young stars in basketball coaching who had been here at Kennesaw State, and Amir Abdur-Rahim, right?
Yeah, right, yep, right.
And Amir passed away suddenly and was just such an impactful human, let alone really talented basketball coach with deep, deep ties to Atlanta and to Georgia and to Georgia Tech, and certainly what he did to Kennesaw State and taking their first NCAA tournament. Well, Amir, when he got the South Florida job, and, you know, they went kind of worst to first in the American that year that he coached, and he said, you know, it's not the same old South Florida. Well, Alex has developed the same thing with their football program. Hey, this is not the same old South Florida. And they showed it on Saturday. I watched the SEC does this terrific thing on the SEC Network, the 60 in 60 thing, where they show you the game. You talk about a team that played with a ton of poise down the stretch now. They played with a ton of poise in Gainesville. And, look, it's tough. I mean, it's tough for Florida right now. But, you know, the schedule's only going to get harder, so you don't have a chance to sit around and talk about it and break it all down. But if you're Billy Napier, you got to get to work. And meanwhile, South Florida, you know, the fight just gets bigger now. You went for the one belt. You went for the TV title. Now you got to go get the man for the world championship belt. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handled the scene in Miami, because Miami played pretty well. Miami looked great against Notre Dame. They backed it up last week. They didn't get caught napping against Bethune. And so we'll see what happens. But USF's got the vibe. Are they going to take – I mean, they beat Boise State, who I thought was the G5 team for the playoff, and now USF looks like they're trying to make a run at it for sure.
Wes, we got to run. Divine Diablo is coming to the room. We're going to talk
to him. I had my man at Virginia Tech when he was taking names, and he's already come to Atlanta and started taking names, so I am definitely out of here on that.
All right, man. Right on. Appreciate you, Wes, the voice of our Falcons. Have a great call on Sunday night.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. First impressions matter. Our first impression of Devon Diablo was at camp, and we were like, damn, he fast.
Yes.
And we did not know a whole lot, as he's laughing because he knows you're like, he was running all over the field. We were like, man, I don't know a lot about Devon.
Agent Zero.
Well, we know a lot about him now because he was all over the field, man. I thought you had an excellent game. I know we want to get dubs, right? But, okay. Devon, thank you for joining us here on the show. Falcon fans were excited to see you running around, man. Talk about this decision to come and be a part of this organization. Did Rod, did somebody sell you on coming here? Was it the fact of the defense and maybe Jeff Ulbrich? What played in that decision for you?
Honestly, all of the above, man. I came here for a visit. All the coaches was just sitting down talking to me, seeing their picture and what they wanted me to do in this game, and I really liked it. And most importantly, they wanted me, and I wanted to be here, so I appreciate that. Mm.
And what do you think about this game? I mean, does it suit what you do? Because as Carl said, we're not as familiar watching much Raiders as we watch Falcons, but it seems like it's really made for you side to side and ask what they're asking you to do in this defense.
Yes, sir. They just allow me to play and be myself. They simplify the defense so I can play fast and be physical.
Well, you were physical. I mean, it felt like obviously guys are going to say, well, you guys left some plays out there, right?
For sure.
But defensively, what did you think overall? How do you rate this? Because you've been in the league now a few years. You go back on a Sunday or a Monday and you're like, man, we could have did this, and this better. Stopping the run, maybe. I mean, what are some other things that you guys or you feel like you guys could have done a lot better?
Honestly, all of the above. I think stopping the run is one. Specifically, the quarterback getting their rushing yards. I feel like that's where they got a lot of their rushing yards. So keeping him in the pocket. Capitalizing on these turnovers, man. We had a lot of drop picks, and we got to take advantage of those. I feel like they're game-changing plays, and who knows, maybe we'd have won or maybe even blew them out. So, you never know. And we just got to take accountability of that and just keep moving forward.
It's Devon Diablo, guys. Hokey, hokey, hokey. Hi, Carl, VPI, Virginia Tech, man.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Talk about that in a minute. And also his stop in Vegas. The preseason, ever since we went to three games in preseason, we argue on the radio, do guys need to have those games in preseason? Does it matter to you? Because some teams look rusty. As a professional, do you need to have some reps at the Mercedes-Benz, or does it matter to you?
I guess it depends how you practice. I feel like if you practice like you play, then you probably won't need it. I feel like if you practice coming in like in the mindset that you're in the game, you probably won't need it.
And we saw them here how they simulated. Like, we had one day of practice where it actually was like a game, even at a halftime. So they did enough to simulate the atmosphere?
Yes, sir, I think so. Obviously, we didn't tackle to the ground, so maybe that part right. of it. But outside of that, yeah, I think we did.
How hard is that, by the way, brother? I mean, like, when we started talking about – because I get a sense, like, all, camp, everybody stay up, stay up, stay up. Don't touch him, stay up. And then you get in the game, take him down, take him down, take him down. It's like, wait a minute. How hard is that adjustment?
Yeah, it's a rough switch up because, you haven't really taken anybody to the ground.
Right.
But as soon as you get that one,
it feels good.
It's up from there. Yes,
okay.
sir. Yes, sir.
It's like that first hit.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. It's all you need.
All
one
right.
hit and you're good.
We got the Vikings this weekend. What do you know, man? I mean, obviously not asking for game plan, but when you look at this team, but what do you see? We watched him on Monday night. I don't know if you did, obviously, probably. But
yes.
I think everybody was kind of taken back by the quarterback and how well he played in the fourth quarter. He didn't play well in the three quarters. Do you judge that at all, or you go in and say, no, I got to respect all this?
Oh, no, I respect all of it. Obviously, Monday night, they came out not too hot, but then they just kept fighting, and they ended up winning that game. So definitely got a big challenge in front of us. I know they want to run the ball, and I think that'll set up their play action. So as long as we want to stop the run, I think we can make him one-dimensional.
Devon Diablo is with us, guys, and we talked about him making the decision to come to Atlanta feeling like it's a good fit. One of the things we talked about last couple of years, the way the Raiders always got up for the Chiefs. I know it's an old-school AFC rivalry, but talk about – because you made the Chiefs look like chumps, especially that game at Arrowhead.
Man, Chiefs, man, it was like hate week, like literally, like back to college days, hate week,
You had like somebody on your team had the Patrick Mahomes doll.
Oh, yeah, all that, man.
Like the Kermit the Frog, right, Carl?
Yeah.
We,
hate the Chiefs. That was the mindset back then. So, yeah, we always brought it to them, and always good games every time.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we hate the Saints.
Yeah. We think it's the best rivalry in football.
I just want to give you a heads up now, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Holler back at you in a few weeks and they're on the schedule, just know how we feel.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, all right, cool.
The rivalry with flavor.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. You have this in every division, right? I mean, we talk about Ravens and, you know, Steelers. Every division has it. But, yeah, man, that's how we feel about the Chiefs. The one thing that makes, from what I've heard, Divine, is about you that makes you special is your coverage ability. Talk a little bit about that, because in this versatile NFL now, you can't just play to run, right? You got to be able to run with these tight ends. You got to be able to run with the slot guy. You have that ability, and that's something that these defensive coaches have talked about.
For sure.
Why you're on the field as much as you are.
Yeah, I take pride in that. I feel like coming was a safety in college, moved to linebacker, so I really want to be good in coverage. That was the most important thing to me on top of being good in the run. But I feel like I've grown over the years. I didn't have the greatest concept of being a linebacker in coverage at first, but this year I think I took a big step forward.
And we talked about Jeff Ulbrich and this scheme and this system. You went to Virginia Tech, Divine, from Carolina, Carl, before going to Blacksburg. Missed out on Beamer ball, but what was your college experience like?
It was great. Had Coach Fuente. I did miss out on Beamer because he retired right when I got there. But Fuente was great. He actually made the switch for me to safety, and I had some learning bumps in the road, whatever. But I really liked it. I really liked how defense gets to hit people, you know?
Right.
You can just run around, just throw your body, and I enjoy it.
Carl, I told them it was not the same atmosphere when I was at Virginia Tech in the early 90s. There was no Metallica.
That's crazy.
How hyped do you get, by the way, in the old days coming out of the tunnel?
Oh, Metallica's amazing, man. And seeing the whole stadium jump up and down, you know, it just gets you going automatically from jump. Especially Thursday night football. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I can't lie. It is one of the dopest intros in college football. There's no doubt about it. Divine Diablo with us, as Mike and I say, Divine Diablo.
One of the greatest names in the NFL.
It really is. Can you give us the background on that, man? What's the deal?
Yeah, for sure. My pops, apparently he was bullied as a kid, so he had the last name Diablo. Mm-hmm. People stayed away from him, El Diablo, like that.
For real?
They weren't nothing to do with him. Apparently, he told me this.
Okay, so nobody wanted to mess with you.
Yeah, so he didn't want that for me, so he made my first name Divine to even it out.
Okay.
Okay, there you go, so you got the backstory.
Has it worked?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People love the name. I'd be surprised. Like, okay, appreciate you, Pops. Thank you.
I can only imagine, like, whenever you met women along the way, it's like, I'm Divine. Whatever. That's not your name.
Don't believe you, right?
I can only imagine. Yeah, so it's a cool name, man.
We could have been L, E-L.
I'm just saying, it's
the
crazy.
Devil. But anyway.
We got to get this one, man, on Sunday night. I asked Ra this. I'll ask you from a defensive perspective. Like you said, we got to make those plays. But what do we got to do, man? What do we have to do? Contain McCarthy? Is there obviously they got that great wide receiver out there we got to worry about. This is a really good team.
Yeah, we got to know where Justin Jefferson is at all times, first of all. Got to contain McCarthy. He's a great runner and a great passer, so keep him in the pocket. Hopefully he gets some sacks this time.
And both teams are dealing with injuries. That happens as part of the league, so get that going. And before we cut you loose, man, we do appreciate your patience today. As we had Wes on, as Divine came in, we were talking off the air. I couldn't imagine working and living in Las Vegas. Visiting, we love it. What was it like as a Raider? And we talked, you got 1 year with Gruden too, Carl. What was that experience like? Because he seems like a trip to play for.
It is a trip. It's a cool experience. Facility is actually 20 minutes away outside, you know, in Henderson.
Right.
That's where we spend the majority of our time. But being so close to Vegas, it is crazy. Like, being able to do anything at any time is you got to be very disciplined.
Right.
Very into football, for sure.
Everybody's not going to make it. everybody's not going to make it.
That'd be a fail for you and I.
Everybody's not going to make it.
Right.
Hey, Divine, thank you so much, man. We're happy you're here. We wish you nothing but the best, man. And keep balling out, brother. Good luck on Sunday night.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thanks again, man.
Thank you.
Divine Diablo.
You got to market that, man. It's a way to – we got to make this happen.
I'm just telling – you know, somebody's got to make the shirt.
I think you got to have a devil with a zero jersey with a little halo over it. See, that's – hey, give me a piece of that action, man. We're thinking. We're working. We're talking.
That's it. He's like, hey, that's not a bad idea.
I'm going to make a dollar in this world, Carl, someday.
I love how he just – the look on his face was like, that ain't a bad idea.
Hey.
I kind of like that.
Carl, Don't hit the roof.
Fix the roof.
See, I am wasting talent as a copywriter.
That's right.
Gosh darn it, we got to make some loot on this thing.
Oh,
man.
My goodness. All right, man. Yeah. Look, good dude.
Right.
And is playing well for us here to start the season, Mike. Hopefully the defense continues to grow and get better, man. And Ross said this. If you missed the interview, guys, we're going to replay it for you coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. But he talked about the rookies, you know, Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman. When you're in position to make these plays, it tells the defensive coaches you're listening. You're in position to make the – now you got to make the plays. But it's not like they're out of position, Mike, and you feel like you got to coach these guys up. That's good news, guys. That's only going to get better as the season moves along.
As we said, you know, we're not as familiar with him because the Raiders haven't been that good other than, as he said, it's kind of cool how that old-school rivalry of the Raiders and the Chiefs still obviously means a lot to those guys in silver and black. But, yeah, he's speedy. He makes plays. We talked about if you miss Raheem Morris, we're going to play that later for you in the five. But and guys, you know on Monday we come in hot. Because the coup thing got everybody fired up. Because it was a close game and maybe we win it in overtime. And yes, we do tend to get angry because I think we're all Falcon fans and Carl and I pay for our tickets. Now you start to, by Wednesday, are you feeling a little bit better?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So, but that will say this though. We did lose the first game of the season in 2016 to the Bucs. We played undisciplined.
Went to Super Bowl.
A lot of penalties, gave up a lot of points in that game. That was Jameis Winston too. And then obviously he gets dialed in. I just, you know, I'm not there yet. I'm not making excuses because the last thing I do is wave pom-poms. You know me. I'm always, like, angry about this squad. But there were plays that were made in the Tampa game, for instance, down in Tampa Bay. The turnovers they created won that game. You had two possessions they got nothing out of, and we were so close, but we just couldn't make it. Now, if we close that gap, then things will change. But the schedule, this is not a time to have those mistakes. You've got to make those plays, Carl. These first five games, I know fans are taking the Carolina Panthers for granted. I don't agree with that, but it's a tough first quarter of the season.
It is. And when I say I don't feel better about the kicking situation. I feel good about our team. I feel good about our quarterback. I feel good about Bijan and some of the things we saw, and defensively, even some of the things we saw again. I'd rather be in position to make a play than out of position. Well, so there are things that you go, all right, we're building and we're going to get better. But the kicking situation, and you can call me crazy all you want, I'm concerned. It's just where I am. So that part of it is why I say no, Mike.
Well, I got a guy on the text line, so you let coach off the hook on coup. I said, look, that's a conversation for Carl and I to have with Terry Fontenot. I said to coach, this is what the general manager brought in for competition, and that was it, and that's all you could do. Now, if the coaching staff is supposed to go to the GM and say, Lenny Krieg isn't that guy, I don't know if they had those conversations. Now it's a guy in Parker Romo who's got some experience in professional football, albeit NFL and what UFL or XFL, whatever the spring league is.
And here's the part about letting him off the hook. He said he will make a decision by the end of the week. They got all week. We'll figure it out. He's going to let us know. If you're saying we let him off the hook because you demanded us to get
explanation. We wanted a better competition, but it's not his job to bring in kickers. No. That's a general manager's job.
It is. But it's also they're not going to make a decision on Wednesday.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're going to find out maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, hopefully Saturday. But I think that's what you're looking for. That wasn't going to happen today. I do feel comfortable with his answer about whether it's mental or physical, though, because he said that part of it. And, again, you'll hear it coming up because I asked him about whether it's mental or physical, and he described that. Stay tuned. That is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live here at Flyer Branch. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're coming back. Falcon reports on the way. The latest on the injuries, not just with us. Bunch of things report around the league as well. You'll hear Coach Ra in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Stay right there.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.